Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, sir. For I love you with an everlasting love, saith the Spirit of grace. I gave my very best that heaven had to offer through the very life blood of my Son. So I continually convince you by my Spirit, by my Word, that you are loved beyond all human expression to know love, saith the Spirit of grace. Masokereste. Haris yakloso de mansini. Beolokrestene. Do you not know that I spoke and said that my mercies are fresh and anew every day, saith the Spirit of grace? Was always meant from the very beginning of the old, and then by the birth of the new, that I would express to my children a continual place, that I was desiring to transform them into the image of the first begotten, saith the Spirit of grace. For know this, and always decide this in your heart, that your greatest call is not to see miracles. Your greatest call is not to see revival. Your greatest call is to be conformed to the image of my Son, saith the Spirit of grace. Akarase. And for this cause I gave you the Holy Spirit, that you might always be being conformed. For many would say in their heart, but I'm out there in certain areas of my life. I'm not exactly where I need to be. That's why I gave you the Holy Spirit. Return unto me, saith the Spirit of grace. Come back. The first place of where the return starts at is to begin to allow me to pray through you the mysteries. For this will recalibrate your life. For many of you have given me awful choices to deal with, though you were my children. Many wrong decisions, many self-made and flesh-made decisions. But each time that you come back and begin to truly offer yourself up in humility and pray the mysteries, I'll once again begin to recalibrate and recalculate and change your life right back into my perfect will, saith the Spirit of grace. For I'm way out there. I've heard your hearts, your thoughts. He loves me, but he knows I'm out there. Yes, but this is why I gave you the Holy Spirit. The moment that you begin to yield your heart in humility and submission, you've entered back into perfect, saith the Spirit of grace. Not all things are perfect, but you've entered back into perfect. You've entered back into that which is my perfect, which will lead you and guide you into the perfecting of your life. Bekadesete. Many things need to be reversed. Many things need to happen. You don't have the strength to reverse certain things. But the call to perfection is humility, saith the Spirit of grace. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. The season in which you begin the process and the season in which I bring all things to fruition is that time of you giving yourself over to me, saith the Spirit of grace. So begin and know that you are loved. Know that heaven loves you and holds you in highest regards. But that which, if you were to choose, if you choose that which is perfect, you'll humble yourself and pray the mysteries, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you, Jesus. Belemandese. We worship you, Jesus.
Well, that prophecy was powerful.
I'm not saying because I gave it. I was just listening as I was giving it. Is there restarts with the Lord? Come on, is there? Continually. Will He recalibrate your life? My God, where would we be without that? Continually. He's like the one that, you know, if you use, everybody does nowadays, GPS, you know, your Google Maps or whatever, and so nobody takes directions anymore. They just, what's your address? That's all you need to know, what's your address? So you type that in and turn here, turn there, turn. But the amazing part is, if you know a better route, you can try that. But if it's talking to you through your Bluetooth or through the phone, it's continually trying to correct you. So that's kind of how the Holy Spirit is. You know, you can override it. You can override Him. He's not a dictator. He's not going to take and make you do stuff. But at every juncture while you're going the wrong way or turning down the wrong street, He's continually saying, turn around, turn around, no, go back, turn left, turn right. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're glad and appreciate every one of you that are here this morning. I'm looking at my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. I'm glad to see them here this morning. Good to see you. Good morning, Sandy. I see you back there. I'm so glad to see you. I talked to you on the phone. You're here. You said you'd be here. Praise the Lord. How many glad to see Sandy this morning? Amen. Jade's friend, Tom. Is that correct? Yeah, glad to meet you. Actually, I met him one time before, and I thought so. I didn't make enough impression on him that he remembered it. But I met him at the shop, and she was there at the desk, and she was off school that day or had already finished school. And so she introduced me, and so Dad's not there. So the thing of it is us elders and dads around here, if you're going to date any of our girls, even if they're grown, we don't like you when we meet you. Our disposition is we don't like you to start with. You have not reeled us in until you reel us in. What's that? That's a good thing. Come in here. I got to show you the gun collection. So, I mean, we love you, but, you know, just kidding, kind of. So, but we're glad for everybody that's here. Praise the Lord. And we're just going to give you the opportunity this morning in your giving. This is a real important part of everything that we do. Immokalee's in revival. And all of everything that we need and that you need to make that happen, obviously it doesn't come through angels. I have been looking for years for my first angelic endowment, something coming straight out of heaven. Kenneth Hagin used to say, money does not come from heaven. He said if they made it there, they would be breaking the law. You can't make money in heaven. It's counterfeit money. It has to come through people. So it doesn't come through angels. And angels are not, angels will help deliver it, but it comes through people. And it comes through people listening and saying, okay, what's my part in all this? So we're going to give you an opportunity to listen for a moment. Perhaps you've already done that before you came in here this morning. But if you'd like to sow in and give, we would certainly appreciate that. And we've got a tremendous morning coming up. But right now, we want to do this. Let's pray. I'll pray. And you listen. And maybe the Lord will speak to you. If He doesn't, then you have an opportunity to determine on your own what you'd like to give. So, Father, we thank You for this beautiful day. And for this is the day the Lord has made. And really, that goes back to the beginning. The day that He made was the day that Christ set us free. But inevitably, we would come to this day and live in that freedom. And we so thank You for it. God, my God, my God, thank You for that freedom. And all that You do for us, and Lord, we're asking You to bless this offering, speak to the hearts of the people, cause them to give according to Your heart's desire, or even whatever they decide in their own heart out of a good sense of direction. So, Father, we thank You for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Please if you would. Let's stand together one more time. This will give you the opportunity to bring this down. Marty, if you have something else that you can give us. And if you missed anybody, just real quickly say hello. If you have something, you bring it down. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's just pray once again and preface of what God's going to speak to us this morning. We appreciate all that God is about to do and has been doing. Wednesday nights have been fantastic. We're teaching a series on preparing for the harvest, and the Lord is really helping us in a way specifically to prepare for the harvest, and thousands are born again. In fact, not in fact, but in truth, let's just say this together. I say that Immokalee is in revival. I say that Immokalee and this region of Florida is in revival. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole, and thousands are born again in this revival. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we just worship you. And we glorify you. We thank you for everything that you're doing this morning. We just speak blessings over there at the nursery and the children's church or whatever is going on over there. That the hand of the Lord will be upon them. The power of God will speak into even the little ones' lives. And Father, we just pray that we will raise up a generation and a foundation of future revivalist men and women who will in the future carry this baton into this century and carry on the foundation of the gospel and the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And Father, we ask you to bless this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit. Teach us as we teach. Guide us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This morning is something that I've been looking forward to. I've been excited because it involves, I'm excited every time I come to church. But I'm particularly excited this morning about being able to be involved in people's lives, particularly, and have a direct effect according to the Word of God into what I see, and that all of us are going to get to participate in something I feel like is really very, very special. And I'm going to ask you to listen throughout the service, because not only will this service be headed towards a certain event at the end, but it will also speak inevitably doctrinal truths that will, I pray, curtail and fashion and form your understanding concerning calls and what are calls and what are not calls in the church. And eventually, we'll get around to even some more series teaching on what your particular call and help you identify what your particular call is in the body of Christ. How many of you know that nobody can tell you what that call is? Nobody can give you a call. It has to come from the Lord. Someone may prophesy in accordance with that call and speak to you, but they cannot prophesy a call into your life. They cannot tell you that's what you're supposed to be. That comes from the headship. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here this morning to consider, I want to put it in that terms because it really is in that sense of the word. It's a consideration. It's a consideration of ordination. And there'll be certain ones that we're considering this morning for ordination. Approximately, I'm just going to give you a little history here. About 6 months ago, I'm guessing it may be less or it may be more, I was approached by some of my favorite people here, and you're all my favorite people, but I was approached by some elders in the church, and that was Marty and Gay Plamondon, and they asked me if there was a possibility of a consideration, a possibility or a consideration for ordination in the future. My first response was not adverse, but it was what it should be, and it should be a question. It should be a question of a why. Why would they be asking? The reason being is this. I'll tell you, and you know me, all of you know me, and there's scriptural precedence for this. And I'm going to share with you that this is not where they were coming from, but this is the why, and it'll always be the why when somebody asks me something like that. The best way never to be able to, now this is kind of it's a little side journey here, but it'll show you the disposition of this house and the men and women that serve with me. The best way to never, ever speak in this pulpit is ask to speak in this pulpit. That's the best way never to get an opportunity to speak. And that's the way that I was trained scripturally by Pastor Dave. He said, you never, ever ask. Don't ever ask to go to somebody's house and speak. If God promotes you, that's one thing. But you never promote yourself. I have people call me. I have ministries that email me. If God wants you to speak here, He'll tell me. He'll tell me, well, maybe we're hearing. No, listen. No. That's impossible. That would be an out of order. That'd be an out of order situation where that God puts a man in the house as the shepherd of the sheep, and he's spending his whole life, and his days in prayer, fasting and praying to hear from the Father what to give to the sheep, and then he speaks to somebody else out there about that house of what to do. That's asinine. That's ridiculous. It doesn't even fit Scripture. So there's always like not a major concern, but there's always a question like, why are you asking? And that was my first question. And so I got a good response. And I appreciated the response, and I'll share that with you in just a little bit. And then over the next several months, there was a couple of divine appointments, meetings in which they were able to share their hearts with me. And I said that the best way to never get a opportunity to speak is to ask for it. And then I said, which I didn't finish, is that there's ministries that'll call or ministries that'll write in. Most of them are looking for a job. They're looking for, an offering. We haven't arrived, but we don't do anything around here just to have somebody in. Well, Pastor, I think let's have them in because I think they got to listen. Everything that we do is scripted. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit's taking us step by step, and so though they don't get in unless we're hearing from God, and God says, "Okay, there's somebody over there." Because there's sometimes at a divine appointment, you need to listen to this guy, and then I'll hear, or that lady, I'll hear, and then God will say they've got something to say. But unless they have something to say. And that's the same way with our elders. Our elders, and then we're going to go into this step by step in the Word of God. Elders don't need public recognition. Well, we're going to show you some scriptures that seem to verify that there is a public recognition, but then we're going to show you contextually where there really is no need for public recognition. So the other thing, too, was I was wondering... And this is all leading up to advertising how precious and really how qualified their position of heart was. On one particular meeting, one of the first meetings, the question was why, and they began to explain why, and I'll share maybe more of that as we go along. But one of the things that touched my heart, it really touched my heart, and it identified what I knew most about them was the no need for recognition. And in fact, they asked me if we could just do this privately and not even tell anybody in the church. I said, no, we'll, you know, once I decided, I said, let me pray about this. And I needed to go to Scripture too. And I said, but once I decided and met back with him, I said, we need to do this publicly because it'll be a good teaching opportunity for our church to understand what elders are and what the calls are. And so their disposition was really, we know we don't need this as far as a public recognition. The other thing too was I thought was so precious that came out of their hearts was they shared with me, and I'll share with you in just a moment the reasons why. But the other thing they said is we're here for the long haul, and this is no ultimatum. And I love that. They said, this is not an ultimatum. If you decide that we're not qualified, we're not going anyplace else. We're called here. And that's a perfect heart right there. A lot of times people will feel like they need a position of recognition. And if the pastor doesn't give it to them, they're gone. And that's called flesh. And then when the pastor gives it to them, that's flesh bowing to flesh. And then you've got churches all over run that way. Believe me, many boards which are not scriptural, and deacon boards which are not scriptural, and voting boards which are not scriptural, and we've done teachings on all this. The best way for many of those people to sit on those particular boards is to be a person of means. And well, we won't go there. we're hearing a lot about political correctness nowadays, and about favors and all those kinds of things. But you'll be surprised how many men and women sit on boards that have there's no call for it to begin with. There's no scriptural call for it. But if they've got the wherewithal to influence, Pastor Dave used to say, if you've got $10,000 to give into a particular ministry, he said, I can get you on all kind of boards across the United States. And you can say, oh, I belong on so-and-so. Oh, aren't they on TV? Yeah, I'm on their board. Yeah. Good money will buy you a position almost any place. So we didn't get an ultimatum. And we receive a perfect heart in that sense of the word. 1 Timothy, we're not going to turn there, 5:22 says, lay hands suddenly upon no man. And here's some of your doctrinal disposition that we want to sow into your life. Laying hands suddenly upon no man doesn't mean don't jump at the altar, and the whole discourse of that whole context was, it wasn't like, don't do that. You know, don't just suddenly lay hands on anybody. It meant don't ordain or approve or appoint in front of the church or in the ministry people too quickly. Because he said, do not take part in another man's sin. There have been too many people and through the years that have been set aside because they were not proven and the pastor didn't know them. And he just laid hands on them, and he did it prematurely, and he said, okay, this is an example in front of you, and they were not ready to carry the ministry. They didn't have the character to carry the ministry, and when they ran off with the church secretary or the church money or whatever, they were, everybody thought, well, weren't they ordained? Yeah, they were ordained, but they were ordained prematurely. And I've seen other ministers. I've been around other ministers before that said, let's... excuse me, this is funny to me, but I'm not trying... I don't want to be sarcastic or too sarcastic. Candy says you're good at it and you like it. Yeah. But you talk about flesh, birthing flesh... I've heard ministers say, I've really been around ministers that say, let's give them a job because they don't feel like they're part of what needs to be, the body. Let's give them a job, give them something to do, and then maybe they'll be more faithful. That's, you're talking about ignorance going to seed. That's the fullness of it right there. In other words, you're promoting someone that's not already doing that job and expecting them to grow into a character in which they're not already doing. That's a reversal of what Scripture teaches. You promote what's already at work. Or you, it's not a promotion. That's a misnomer. It's not a promotion. You just identify. Ordination is an identification of this is already in existence. I'm not making this work, and I'm not, you know, my application to this or my approval to this doesn't make it. We're just recognizing what's already there. And when people promote somebody that is has a lack of character, they do it to their own hurt. You're taking, actually, when Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:22, when he said that, and do not be a part of another man's sin, if you promote somebody and then you find out later that they are a predator, or you find out that they are a, you know, they've got all these kinds of other things where they, and usually that's the far out reaching. The main thing for promotion is love. That's one of the main things. And when you find that people still have a capacity to hurt other people and you've promoted them, you've taken a part. You've actually become a part and partisan to their lack of character. Does everybody get that? Okay. So you're learning. So he says, lay hands subtly on no man. Well, I'll tell you, and this is not for my, you know, pat on the back. This identifies how slow that we have been in the ministry in the last 20 years. This will help people watching. Don't write in. Can you ordain me? In the last 20 years, we have in our bylaws registered with the state of Florida. I can, as the senior pastor, ordain other people into the ministry, and that's written in our bylaws, and that's been recognized by the state of Florida as our corporation has been adopted. But in the last 20 years, since I've been serving here since 1997, March of 17 will be 20 years. I've only ordained three people. And that is Loretta Cole, which was up, she pastored, and they've taken a sabbatical now, but was the pastor, is the pastor of the prayer center in Ocala. And then Rex and Marcia Johnson, and we'll talk about their ministry in just a moment. So needless to say, we have been slow. Slow. And now I'm telling you, if you look at other ministries, a lot of times you'll find that they are ordaining people all of the time. So we've been extremely slow in this. I want you, for understanding purposes, and this is vital, this is very vital for just not this morning, but for your understanding for the future and for people that may be watching this. By the way, I haven't listened to all of it. I've probably listened to some of it as a result of Pastor Jim being here. But Pastor Jim Martin has a tremendous series on taking heed to your call, and it identifies all the ministry calls. And just go on his website. I don't know exactly where to find that, but that's the name of it, Taking Heed to Your Call. And that's a series. So he does a great job. And I'll just advertise that because I trust that man, I trust his ministry. But I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at some things together. And we're going to look down really at one particular verse, and that being in verse 28. We'll start at really verse 27, then we'll go on into the next few following verses. Verse 27 says, "And now," it says, "now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church." Now, first of all, who set them in the church? Who? Did some man? No. So is this a God from heaven? Are we about to look at calls from God himself?
Okay, that's kind of pretty explanatory, self-explanatory. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church. First being what? Apostles. Secondarily, what? Prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. And then gifts of healings. And we identify that with Ephesians chapter 4 as in... And we do not have time this morning to teach all the collaborating cross scriptures that would, but I'll just tell you, and I hope you trust me, but I'll continue to point you to those good series like I just did, and tell you to study this for yourself. But the gifts of healings is a direct correlation with the ministry of the pastor. So the fivefold ministry is identified here, all fivefold, gifts of healing, miracles. First apostles, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles would be something that would correspond with the ministry of the evangelist. Then gifts of healings and helps. We're not going to go into all of what entails in these ministry. Helps, governments. And then last of all, one that Pastor Dave taught us so strong on, vehemently on for many, many years, was that eighth operation, the bottom rung of the ladder, which was the kindling for everything else, which was diversity of tongues. And this, of course, is something that every member of the body of Christ is called to, is the diversity of tongues. Let's also look at Ephesians chapter 4. And we will start at verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high. Now who do you think this is talking about? Who? Jesus. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. Now, here we go. We just read this. Now, who gave them? God, or who specifically? Jesus. Jesus. Did some man give them? Did some man appoint them in the church? No. Well, see, your guys are really smart. You must have had your smart pills this morning before you came to church. He, Jesus, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then it goes on to talk about till we all come into the unity of the faith, into that perfect man. What we've just read here is the five ministerial, fivefold offices of the ministry. And these are ministry callings. They'd be the same as 1 Corinthians 12:28, ministry callings. Now we're going to speak specifically on this because we're going to go to some verses here concerning elders in the body of Christ. I just gave you a major clue to the quiz. In the two scriptures that we just read, in 1 Corinthians 12:28 and in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 13, what ministry, or so-called, or what title did you not see? Oh, somebody's real smart in the back. Give that guy an A. There was no ministry call for eldership. No ministry call for eldership. Now let's look at this more specifically. Let me say this. Churches and ministry today are ordaining elders and deacon, and that's out of order. That's out of order. Well, we're actually going to read out of Titus where he talks about ordaining elders, but we're going to establish what he was actually talking about in contextual in the context of Scripture. these ministries are ordaining them in regards to ministry, and this is out of order. You can't ordain elders to the ministry. They have to have a ministerial call. And I would dare say all of you, according to 1 Corinthians 12:28, have some kind of call, a location in the 1 Corinthians 12:28. That might not be, though, that you have a ministerial call as in the fivefold. And we've got churches, and people say, well, what does it matter? It matters a lot. It matters a lot. When you get see, one of the things that Homer and I do, and we just anybody that needs a job, like wants to stop by here and preach, if they're not really at this point in time, our fulcrum, the fulcrum of our going forward, this is not legalism. It's just where we know what we're supposed to be doing, and we know where we're headed, and we know what Scripture says. We don't have time to let somebody come in and just preach something just because it's, you know, hot tamales, you know, just because it's something. And so I'm saying that as an example to say this. You say, well, you sound pretty dogmatic. We are. The thing of it is keeping things in order. Now, we have not arrived. We have definitely not arrived. But keeping things in contextual order, and I used Homer as an example, myself as an example, because we're handling this pulpit a lot. Keeping things in contextual order allows the head of the church to flow down through the joints with marrow, which is strength and life. If you get anything, you know, I heard of a young man one time. He had a football injury. He dislocated. It was his shoulder or his knee, and years later, it was 2 inches shorter, or it was, you know, the something. And the reason being is, if you understand physiology and science, is if you're still in a growth pattern, which many high schoolers are, if you dislocate and the joints are not able to line up and the marrow doesn't flow through the bone, you'll often have a shortening, especially when a man's still not totally mature up to age 21, 22 years old. He's still growing. And this is the same thing in the body of Christ. You can hear the wows. A lot of times you can hear wows. Oh, whoa, whoa, wow, that sounds really good. But if it's not contextually by the Word of God, eventually that's going to blow away, and it's going to leave people out of proportion, and they're going to be hobbling, and they're not going to be lined up with the Word of God. So what we want to do is best we can, and we find ourselves all the time, myself included, in places of correction, but we want to line up exactly as best as we can with the Word of God, because we want you and I want myself entering into this last day harvest. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good stuff. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bronk. I appreciate that. Give myself a high five. We don't see the designation and the separation of ministry callings, and there's a difference in the ordination. We're gonna get that right now. So let's turn with me, or you turn with me. Let's turn together to Titus. Hallelujah! Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Appreciate that. Hallelujah. I heard that over there. Now, just to go ahead and flip your wig, not that you have one on, but if you do, I'm not saying I don't want to. Careful, Bronk. Careful, 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 careful. I might as well just tell you that there are viable, I'll put it this way, there are viable things that people do for the church, in every church, in this one included. There's the camera ministry, or not, wait a minute, see, I'm a victim. there's the camera, and there's thing, and this helps us with our ministry. There's ushers that help. there are a number of different things, but people will say, and you're talking to them, and they're working in churches, my call is I'm into hospitality. There is no hospitality call. Well, my call is I'm an usher. That you're fulfilling something wonderful, and you're helping in the body of Christ, but there's no usher call. Well, my call, listen, there's not even, according to the Word of God, a minister a call for the worship leader. Well, my ministry call is worship. No, according to what we just read, well, Pastor, I beg to differ. Well, give me Scripture. We can't, the only thing that we can talk about is Scripture. According to 1 Corinthians 12:28 and according to Ephesians 4, is this up here? Is that viable? Is that necessary? Do we like that? Absolutely. Is that a call according to the Word of God? Absolutely not. Well, I'm the parking lot pastor. And then you got all these churches that have these different pastors, so-called, air quotes, so-called, I'm the pastor, and I know this is going to, you know, some people are like not going to like this, but, you know, I'm the youth pastor, and I'm the senior citizens pastor, and I'm the, you know, the old and the old fogies, you know. I'm the up-and-coming pastor, and there's pastor. That's not in the Word of God. It's not there. You can't find it. Well, your ministry call is there. It's up to you to go locate it. If it's not in the fivefold, it's probably right there in 1 Corinthians 12:28. But so these are viable things that people do. In other words, they're appreciated, and they help, you know, keep the church going, but they're just not ministry calls. Amen. Amen. They're not. Okay. So, saying that, we're going to read here out of Titus, and we're going to read about elders, and it's also going to look, and just a moment, you may say, aha, gotcha, Pastor. Doesn't it say right there? Yes, it does, and I'm glad you're going to bring this up. Okay, but let's look at verse 1, I guess we might as well start, of Titus 1. If you're not there, I'm sorry. I didn't maybe tell you soon. Okay, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised unto the world before the world began, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Now, Crete was an island, and the Cretans are the people that he's talking about here. The things that are lacking, that I want you to set in order, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee. Now, we'll stop right there. We'll come back to verse 6 in just a moment. Well, Pastor, you say that elders are not a ministry call, and we saw plainly that they're not in those two calls which God spoke out of heaven through Jesus Christ and gave to the church, and God in 1 Corinthians 12:28. We don't see elders there. First of all, what is an elder? What is an elder? I think that's the first thing that you need to understand. And I'm not going to try to impress you, because I can't impress myself with the Greek. But the word elder is presbyteros. Presbyteros. That wowed you, didn't it? Okay. It just means an elder or a senior in the faith. That's the best way to consolidate it and get it right down. Whoa. Just someone that has been in and has aged in character as in the body of Christ and has got some, you might say, now I'm paraphrasing this and putting it into street language, just they've got some mileage, they've got some character, and they can help out in the body of Christ. Presbyteros. It just means a senior of the faith. Now, Paul, and I had a scripture on that, but I was looking at it, I couldn't find it this morning, but I'm pretty sure Paul himself, and I know Peter and John, you know, John and 2 and 3 John, he referred to himself as an elder. He said, the elder, I think it's 2 John, isn't it, Homer, to the lady, to the elect lady. And then he also refers to himself in 3 John as the elder. Peter refers to himself as an elder. So they are elders, of course, but that's not their ministry calling. In other words, they were seniors or fathers of the faith, Paul, Peter, and John. They were elders, as in being seniors in the faith, but that was not their ministry calling. Their ministry calling, of course, was the apostleship that they were called to. That was their particular calling. The word ordain, this is vitally important. This is what you really need to get. It's easy if you listen and understand. The word ordain really is identified based on its contextual value in the Greek. Okay? It's really like this. You know, when I say the word spirit, according to the New Testament, it's the word pneuma. And the pneumaticos is the pneuma man, the man of the spirit, or the man after the spirit. That's pneumaticos. When you're reading scripture, if you were reading it right out of the Greek, there's no, like, say, for instance, we've taught lessons on Romans chapter 8, where it lists and it says spirit, 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 spirit. There's no way just by the word itself to identify whether that's talking about your human spirit, because we know that we have a human spirit on the inside. That's who you really are. Your body that I'm looking at is just a shell. There's a person, really. Hollywood's got it right. Boom, that people have a car accident and somebody steps out of their body. Wow, Hollywood doesn't get hardly anything right. But according to Scripture, they got that right. There's a person that looks just like you. And there's several scriptures, but I don't have time to go into that. There's a person that looks just like you on the inside of you, because it is you. It's the real you. But in contextual, there's no way to identify when you're reading scripture. There might be 100 spirits, the word spirits, in a chapter. Well, not really. That's exaggerated. There might be several. There might be dozens of the word spirit in a chapter. And there's no, in the Greek, that word spirit is still pneuma. It's pneuma, pneuma. The only way that you know if it's talking about God, a deity, or you as a human, is contextually put it in there. Now, what is he saying? Who's he speaking to right now? Is he speaking to about God, the Holy Ghost, or is he speaking to me about my natural or my spiritual being on the inside of me? Which is, and that's how the word ordain is. The word ordain carries with it, at times, a companion word. And if that companion word is used, then you know what it is identifying or wants you to understand in that with that companion word. And understanding that, and I'm going to read that companion word to you in just a moment, but I'd like for you to turn with me. It's in Luke, or it might be in Mark. Someone run that reference for me, and he ordained, speaking of Christ. Run that. Uh, No, and he called them the disciples, and he gave them by name. Mark 3, perfect. See, we study in here. I had that in my notes, but. Mark 3. What's the verse? Thank you. Okay. Here we see Jesus. And Jesus, he is, there is, and the reason why I thought of Luke is because there is a comparative where he called them. He went up and prayed, or maybe that's here in Mark. Look at verse 13, verse 3. And he goeth up into a mountain, and he calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained, everybody say ordained. He ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. I think in the other scripture it says, and he called them. And that one talks about how that he spent the night in prayer. And then it goes on here. It says that he calleth whom he would. Now, we don't know how many that he was select. We know that he had 70 besides for the 12. But there might have been all kinds of people that was following Jesus. But he spent in the other gospel, he spent all night in prayer. And then the Lord told him who to select, who to ordain as his 12 that would be his followers, or right-hand men that would follow him. And he goeth up into a mountain, he calleth him or whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach, to whom gave he power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter. And then he goes on, and I'm not going to name all these names, but it tells you there the names of the 12, okay? Interesting enough, there is a word that is a companion word that if you look this up, this ordination here, this ordination has a companion word with it. And again, I'm not trying to awe you, but it is the word proseo, and it's the companion word with this word of ordination. And it means to practice or to perform habitually or repetitively. What that is saying here is that the Lord appointed them based on what. And here's the thing. They were not yet, you got to understand this, they were not yet working in the fullness of their call. Because why? They're not even yet born again, right? But he prayed all night, he listened to the Father, and then proseo was this, that based on what their actual call was, you might say it like this, what their ministry call was, then as a result of their ministry call, then he appointed them. Because the word appoint, the word ordain, I think that's where we were. Did we give the generic or the first word ordain? Did we give that? Okay. It means basically to appoint. It's the poie. Everybody say poie. Okay. The word ordain in and of itself, or ordination, means to just appoint. Just an application of, okay, I'm appointing you, I'm appointing you, I'm appointing you. But here in this ordination, Jesus was appointing, he was ordaining, poie, but according to paso. In other words, according to their ministry call, he was going to ordain them or appoint them. You got that? In other words, it was something to do with their call, their ministry call, which they were going to be apostles, part of the fivefold. He was taking that ministry call and saying, you're ordained as a result of that, or I'm appointing you as a result of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.